and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivana, communications director for the Columbus City Council on this week's show, MS Awareness Month in the Buckeye State. But first, we begin with a new program to build trust and dialogue between Columbus police and residents. Columbus City Council President Andrew J. Ginther and Columbus Police Chief Kimberly Jacobs were joined by Columbus City Council member Zach Klein and Fraternal Order of Police Local 9 President Jason Pappas to announce a new community outreach initiative intended to strengthen relations between the Columbus Division of Police and the African American, New American, and LGBT communities. The group announced 3 diversion and inclusion liaison officers within the division that will, in addition to their regularly assigned duties, proactively establish and maintain positive relationships between the Division of Police and specific constituencies by utilizing existing police and community resources to foster a greater sense of trust and communication between the division and residents. The full-time officers will report directly to the Chief of Police and will serve as a direct point of contact for the identified constituencies. The officers will coordinate outreach efforts with existing community liaison officers working in Columbus neighborhoods. They'll also work cooperatively with the Community Relations Commission, as well as participating in hate crime prevention, crisis intervention, and constituent-based public safety efforts. Here's Council President Ginther.
Welcome to the Neighborhood Policing Center. Joining me here today, Safety Director George Speaks and some folks from the faith community that I want to acknowledge specifically. I think, I'm not sure if Pastor Gilliard's joined us yet, but he might be en route from the Ohio Baptist General Convention. But I know Dr. John Little is here, who's the moderator of Eastern Union, the Eastern Union Missionary Baptist Association. I know that Bishop Hezekiah Martin, who's pastor of South Hill Baptist Church, is with us here today, and Pastor Tyrone Laws, who's president of the Baptist Ministerial Alliance, Pastor Charles Wheeler from Mountaintop Baptist Church, and Pastor Nathaniel Carter from Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. From the Latino community, John Ramos, League of United Latin American Citizens, and we have 2 community partners working to ensure equal rights in the LGBT community. Kim Walter, who's the Deputy Director of Equality Ohio, and Cody Hondras, who's Equality Ohio's Education Fund Board. And from the Somali community, Mohammed Jama and Hassan Idris is with us here today. So thank you all for joining us here. This building is not only home for the officers who work on the Near East Side, but the community groups, civic associations, and block watches that are working with police to improve their neighborhoods. It serves as a reminder of the importance of law enforcement engaging the community at the neighborhood level to maintain an open line of communication and to proactively address issues of concern before they rise to the level of a crisis. Certainly, events across the country have drawn attention to the need to strengthen community-based and community police relations right here at home, and to remain focused on our ongoing efforts to maintain and build upon the trust between the police and the community they serve. The mayor, Chairman Klein, and I have asked Chief Jacobs to take her leadership team out of police headquarters and into places of worship, schools, and community centers across Columbus. They've already had their first community meeting, and there's several more in the next couple of weeks, to listen to resident concerns and to gain input on how to improve neighborhood policing in Columbus. The forums provide for an open and frank dialogue between residents and police that will result in draft recommendations from the chief to the safety director. The goal of these recommendations is to enhance training, review police policies and procedures, increase education and outreach, improve relationships, and build trust between the community and police. As the city awaits the chief's findings, I know there are things that the division can do today to improve relations with a number of diverse communities in Columbus. That's why I'm pleased to announce a new community outreach initiative that will work to bridge the gap between police and the African American, LGBT, and New American communities. Soon, diversity and inclusion liaison officers will work to proactively establish and maintain positive relationships between the division and these and other identified constituency groups. The officers will become a highly visible and accessible partner for the specific communities they will serve, each of which face unique challenges when it comes to life in our great city, but all of whom deserve to feel safe. The officers will work with the community liaison officers already hard at work in Columbus neighborhoods and the Community Relations Commission to provide a voice for those who feel they have not been heard and to provide a seat at the table for discussions that impact the safety of our neighborhoods. Columbus is a great city because we are a caring and inclusive community. Our diversity is our strength. And I thank the chief for her willingness to engage these communities as never before. This time, I'd like to introduce Chief Kim Jacobs for some comments. Chief.
President Gintzer, thank you very much. And I truly appreciate our community partners to be here with us today as we make this announcement. I consider it extremely vital that we do as much outreach as we possibly can and make people feel comfortable with the Division of Police. Not all people are comfortable, especially some of our new Americans that have come to this country from areas where the police are the enemy, truly. And certainly with regard to the police actions in the United States, we haven't always done our best with regard to civil rights. So it's really important that we reach out to people that may not trust the Division of Police members just because we're the police. So we are making great efforts in regards to reaching out and being accessible. And if you want to find somebody that looks like you or talks like you or understands your culture, that'll be a little bit easier now because we've identified somebody that these guys have great social skills. They can't stop talking to anybody. And they'll be available phone, email, and at community meetings to bring more community members into understanding how the Division of Police operates, who we really are, that we are a trustworthy, progressive, diverse, and community-minded organization that is here to serve all impartially as best we possibly can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Grateful to have such a wonderful chief of police, someone who has taken our efforts around community policing and neighborhood engagement to new levels for the division, and I thank her for her leadership. In addition to today's announcement regarding diversity and inclusion liaison officers, I'm pleased to announce that with the support of Chairman Klein, I am committing to an additional investment in tools to protect officers in the public, make law enforcement more effective, and help keep neighborhoods safe. Part of the conversation about community police relations centers on the escalating use of force when officers encounter dangerous and often life-threatening situations. For years, the division has equipped officers with tasers to provide a less lethal option to conflict resolution. Tasers, like most pieces of police equipment, don't last forever and must be replaced. And not every Columbus police officer right now is outfitted with a taser. That's why Chairman Klein and I are asking council members to support legislation to invest $250,000 in new and replacement tasers, taser cartridges, holsters, and accessories for Columbus officers. This investment will help assure that our officers have the most up-to-date equipment possible and ensure that more officers have a less lethal option at their disposal when reacting to escalating safety situations where use of force is required. At this time, I'd ask Jason Pappas, who's president, the FOP, Order of Police Local, Capital City Lodge Number 9, forward for some comments. President Pappas.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to speak, Mr. Gintzer. This is a great day. Anytime that the citizens are protected and our officers are protected, really makes for great law enforcement. And having a less lethal option than a firearm is a great benefit to everybody involved, both my officers and the citizens. So I'm extremely grateful for the efforts of City Council to put forth legislation and provide the funding, and I'm looking very forward to the day when these new tasers are delivered to our officers. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, President Pappas.
Appreciate your support and appreciate the work that you and your fellow officers do every day to help keep Columbus safe. Thanks to everyone here today. If you look around the room, I think that you will see what makes Columbus such a special city. We have leaders from the faith community of every part of the city. We have folks from New American Initiatives, Latinos, Somali, other parts of our New American Coalition that makes Columbus such a special place, and leaders from the LGBT community here with us today, all focused on the same thing, making sure that Columbus is a city where everyone feels welcome and everyone feels safe. Seeing the Chief of Police, officers and safety personnel, and all the great folks today, here today, has me focused on our future together, united by the common purpose of improving our community and ensuring that we have the opportunity to live in a safe neighborhood, regardless of where we were born or how we came to this city. The fact that we all came here together today gives me great confidence that we can unite the entire community around these same goals, face the challenges we share, and continue to build upon the diversity that makes Columbus such a special place to live.
March is once again MS Awareness Month here in the state of Ohio, and here to talk about all the great programming and how MS is really a manageable condition is Asia Armstrong. She's a wife and a mother from Gahanna. And Asia, thank you for joining us here on Call the Roll.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Talk about your journey with MS.
Yes.
And what MS is and how it's affected your life.
So for me, it started back in March of 2006. March 17th, I went to sleep, normal life, normal day, went to bed, woke up at about 3 a.m. on March 18th, and my whole left side was numb. So immediately my husband and I thought, oh, she's having a stroke. So we rushed to the emergency room, and they started looking me over and doing all of the tests that they need to do. Nope, you're not having a stroke. And so I'm thinking, well, what could it be? Because literally I had no use of my left side. And what they thought is, oh, you probably just pulled a muscle. So they sent me home with some muscle relaxants, and that was supposed to help. Well, it didn't.
Yeah.
Day after day after day, it just seemed to get worse to where I had no use of my hands at all. I would try to stand and walk, and I could stand, I could walk, but then I would fall. That hadn't happened to me prior to 3 a.m. on March 18th. So I started to go through this series of testing. I started with my general physician, who referred me to a neurologist. He did a bunch of testing. And then in May of 2006, May 24th, I remember the date, I was told, you have MS. Now, that scared me tremendously because the only other person in life that I knew of at the time with MS was a great aunt, and it had done a number on her body. I mean, she was wheelchair bound. She couldn't feed herself. It was pretty devastating for her. So that was the only picture of MS that I had, and I thought for sure that's where my life was going. So I told my husband, go ahead and divorce me, because we were so young at the time, in our 20s. I'm like, you don't need a wife who can't run with you and play with the children and do all of the great things that we have been used to doing. Well, thankfully, he decided not to leave me.
Wise man.
Yes, wise man. We started doing some research on the disease and just discovered that the disease way back when my great aunt was diagnosed is very different now than it was back then. There weren't many options for treatment back then. Now there's numerous options of treatment, from infusions to even pills now that you can take. There's options out there so that people can live a happy and healthy life with this disease.
And let's talk about what the disease is. It's
yes.
Chronic disease that attacks the central nervous system, symptoms unpredictable,
mm-hmm.
ranging from numbness and weakness, which
yes.
you experienced, to total paralysis, which sounds more like what you experienced with your aunt.
Yes, sir. And what people need to understand is when we say it attacks the central nervous system, the central nervous system is your spinal cord, your brain, and your optic nerves. So think of how devastating that is to someone with this disease. I have had bouts of optic neuritis where I can't see. Now, I have relapsing remitting MS, so it comes and goes. But imagine that this disease is so unpredictable, and to not know when you wake up tomorrow, am I going to be able to see? Because it affects your optic nerves. Am I going to be able to think the way that I normally do and have memory and word call and things like that? Because it affects your brain. And then your spine, that is all of your movement, your hands, your feet, your legs. It's a pretty devastating disease.
Let's talk a little bit about the support systems here in Central Ohio for people with MS. Talk about the medical side of the support systems that you've been able to experience. You live in Gahanna.
Yes,
you mentioned
sir.
That.
Mm-hmm.
So you have you have the Central Ohio kind of network behind you.
Mm-hmm, I do. There is the Buckeye chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, and then there's the Buckeye chapter here in Ohio. And I found that it was a good idea for me to get connected with them because that opens the door for many sessions that they offer via phone or even in-person sessions, certainly things over social media and the internet, to just learn more about the disease and connecting with people who have it. A big push, if you were to go to the MS website, is about connecting and sharing your story so that people can see the way I viewed MS with the way my great aunt had it, which is how most people see this disease because it is incurable. It doesn't have to be that way. So the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is wonderful. And then the Buckeye chapter, which is the Ohio chapter, is awesome. And they can really connect you with people who can help.
MSOhioBuckeye.org,
yes.
1-800-FIGHT-MS, and we'll repeat those, the website and the phone number here in a little bit. That's kind of the medical side of the support system, mm-hmm. the social service, but also you mentioned your husband a few moments ago. You have
yes.
three children.
Yes.
The home support system in people that I've talked with who have MS is incredibly important because these are the people on the front lines 24/7.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He sees me at my best and my worst. Most people only see me at my best. There are many people who know me who are unaware that I even have the disease because if it doesn't come up in the conversation, I don't often mention it.
And just so people know, you were walking in the halls here in City Hall.
Yes, sir.
Carrying a bag and a coat and smiling. You're not in a wheelchair. You're not in a walker. You're nothing like that. No one would know.
Right. No one would know. No one would know unless I told them or they caught me on one of those bad days. And sometimes I do have those days. I was diagnosed back in 2006. So I am pretty aware when I wake up of what type of day that it's going to be. So you mentioned home support. My children know that I have this disease.
How old are they?
They are 11, 9, and 7.
So somewhat old enough to understand that mommy's not feeling well today.
Yes. I didn't tell them about it initially. They first found out about it in 2013, which was the first year we did the MS Walk. The MS Walk happens every year in Ohio. This year it's going to be on April 11th at the Columbus Zoo. But we were at the Columbus Zoo 2 years ago for the MS Walk, and all they knew was we're going to the zoo. This is going to be so much fun.
Yep.
And when they got there, my oldest and the middle child also was able to read at the time. So they could see all of the signs that were up and, you know, saw the word disease and mommy, what does that mean? And so that started the conversation with them to know what I've been diagnosed with and how I am conquering the disease and now trying to be a champion for it to do things like this with you. But let me just say this.
Yep.
So this is what's interesting that people sometimes don't realize. Like I said, there's good days and bad days, right? So we have to sometimes make accommodations in the home. For example, when we go grocery shopping, mm-hmm. my husband automatically knows I need to open the jar of blackberry jam. I need to open the pickles. I need to open the applesauce because depending on the day, I may or may not be able to open that if the children want some and he's not there. My children know, my oldest son is really good about this. If I'm going up or down the steps and he's with me, he'll get in front of me so that he can kind of protect and help me out. I'm always really good on flat ground. Going up the stairs is easy, but going down mm-hmm. can sometimes be a problem. So it's things like that that, you know, we make accommodations for in the home. But my husband is a wonderful, wonderful support system.
Talk about the things that you do to keep yourself active. One thing that Interesting. You're a school principal.
Yes, sir.
School principals are extremely active.
Yes.
They're walking the halls. They're all interacting day. With students and teachers and parents.
Yes.
And talk about how MS affects you in that realm. You've talked about the home life. We talked about the medical world. Talk about your professional life.
Mm-hmm. What I do is I always want to make sure that I'm on when I go to work. And again, I always am. Like I said, there's many people there who have no clue that I am living with this at all. And I think what helps me there is being certain that I exercise my body and my mind outside of work. When you are told you have this disease, you're often told the things that you can't do or you shouldn't be able to do. I have lesions on my brain right now and on my spine that affect my eyes and not my thinking as much yet. I know that years to come that could happen, but certainly my motor system. So what I do is, I guess I'm just that stubborn that anytime they tell me you shouldn't be able to do this, that's the thing that I want to do. Mm. So for me, exercise, physical exercise has been a big factor for me. I was diagnosed in 2006, and in 2009, I ran my first half marathon. So I've done 3 half marathons post-diagnosis, and running has been very, very integral to my happiness and to my physical wellness, in addition to making certain that I met all of those doctor's appointments that I have to attend, making certain that I stay up on my treatment. There were some times when I was in denial, honestly, when I was first diagnosed and had the opportunity to be on treatment, and I refused it because I thought, oh, I don't need to do this. I'll pray my way out of it, or I'll think my way out of this, and discovered that that wasn't quite it. I was able to maintain, but I wanted to be better. I didn't want to have attack and then I'm okay and attack and then I'm okay. I wanted to just be well all the time. And so that's when I knew I needed to get on the treatment and stick with it and make sure that I'm diligent with my doctor's appointments, my medication, and then physical exercise, and also watching how I eat, which I think is the hardest part of it all.
Sounds like most of this is mental. I mean, we're talking about a debilitating disease that attacks the central nervous system, which is what MS is.
Yes.
But it's coming from you, it sounds like most of this is just dealing with the mental side of it and your attitude.
Yes, that makes the difference in, I think, how you function day to day. The times that my body is under attack, if I sulk and get depressed and get sad and upset, which I did for a goodly amount of time, when I did those things, it seemed to make it worse. But when I decided, I've been diagnosed with this disease, there's nothing I can do about it, it's not going to go away right now. And I believe that in the future, there can be a cure if we continue to do things like the MS Walk and Bike for MS and fundraisers that raise money so that these super smart neurologists and scientists
white,
out
the
there.
White coats.
Yes, yes. So that the white coats can figure out a cure. I believe that it can happen. But for right now, I am told you have this, there is no cure, you have to live with it. And so I decided to make the best of it. The way I describe it to people is I've been dealt a really, really, really horrible hand of cards, but I decided to take those cards and win with them.
But you're not alone. 2.3 million worldwide. In Ohio, more than 20,000 people.
Yes,
so,
sir.
And I assume that you now have this the great network of the part of the 20,000 through the Buckeye chapter.
Yes, there are. You talk about support. There's a group of gals that I know who also have this disease. And we get together. We try at least once a month, if not every other month, to have breakfast or lunch or dinner and just talk about the things that we're dealing with. Because it's my husband is wonderful and I can share anything with him and I can talk to him about anything, but he is not living with it. It's always nice to have somebody who knows what you're going through, who when you say this is tingling and this is aching and I was trying to talk to this person and couldn't recall this word, they understand where you're coming from. And they can tell you the times when it's okay to get upset and scream and kick and fight and cry. And then now, okay, it's time to pull up your bootstraps and let's get back at it because you can win even with MS.
April 11th, MS Walk. Any other dates and events you want to mention?
April 11th, the Columbus Zoo MS Walk is the biggest one. And then, of course, in the future, there'll be the Bike MS that's going to come up and other fundraisers that are out there. I just encourage people to go to the website. You mentioned it earlier, msohiobuckeye.org. You can get lots of information there on ways that you can donate to the cause.
And 1-800-FIGHT-MS. Is another number you call. March is MS Awareness Month here in the state of Ohio. Asia Armstrong was our guest on Call the Roll.
Thank you.
Asia is taking part in the MS Advocacy Day at the State House on March 17th. And if you want to help the battle against MS, you can join Asia's Victory Alliance, her MS walk team. Give me a call here at City Hall at 645-6798. That's 645-6798 for more information. We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL. At Columbus.gov. And don't forget, you follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.